Welcome to episode 160 of Behind the Mission, a show that sparks conversations with Sacramento trusted partners and educational experts. My name is Dwayne France, and each week I'll be having conversations with podcast guests that will equip you with tools and resources to effectively engage with and support military service members, veterans, and their families. You can find the show on all the podcast players or by going to sacramento.org/podcast. Thanks again for joining us on Behind the Mission. Our work and mission are supported by generous partnerships and sponsors who also believe that education changes lives. Our sponsor this week is PsychArmor, the premier education and learning ecosystem specializing in military culture content. PsychArmor offers an online e-learning laboratory that's free to individual learners, as well as custom training options for organizations. On today's episode, I'm having a conversation with military spouse Tara Wright, the senior manager of content design on the Research, Education, Data, and Impact team at Sesame Workshop, the nonprofit educational organization behind the beloved children's show Sesame Street. In her work at Sesame, Tara creates engaging content for young children and families, as well as practical, approachable tools for the providers who serve them, all with the goal to help nurture smarter, stronger, and kinder communities. You can find out more about Tara by checking out her bio in our show notes. Let's get into my conversation with her and come back afterwards to talk about some of the key points. Tara, thank you for taking the time to share your work with us. I'm excited to be talking about Sesame Street supporting military families again. But before we get into that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to share a bit about yourself and why this work you're doing is so important to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really good to talk about this work. And you're right, it is pretty meaningful to me. I began working at Sesame actually back in 2016. So before I became a military spouse, but in 2019, my husband decided to join the Marine Corps, and he went to officer candidate school in Quantico and went the officer route. So now he is a reserve officer in the Marine Corps. And so that was a pretty big life change for us. I didn't really grow up with too much immediate military background or experience of how that would affect our family. I just had this really big idea that it was going to be very disruptive. And in many ways, it was. We moved from New York City, where our jobs were based, and he spent a few months without me and our firstborn son, who was 6 weeks, I think, when my husband went to OCS. So he went to Virginia, and then I followed him down there, and we ended up spending close to 2 years with injuries and timing breaks between training and things like that. And that part of our military journey ended. So he was transitioning into his reserve duties right as the pandemic hit. So instead of moving back to New York City, as was our plan after his time in Virginia, we ended up coming home to Oklahoma, where we're based now. This whole time, we're navigating working remotely. Since we moved back here to Tulsa, I've had two more kids. We are a very active family. We have three young boys who are five and under. Pretty crazy. You might hear them in the background here a little bit. Now we're working remotely. We chose to stay here and we're fortunate to have flexibility from our work, both from Sesame Workshop and the magazine where my husband works for his full-time day job. We were able to have that flexibility to be closer to home and to closer to support and family, which is really essential. I think the biggest thing I've learned as a military spouse is that there's just so much uncertainty. The uncertainty is par for the course, and the change in rhythm and routine is standard. That is the routine is change. Yeah, I'm learning to navigate that. It's been rewarding to work on Sesame Street for military families, because I'm able to not only connect with other military families through the work, all our work is based in research and real conversations with real families and providers who are working with them. But I also see them in their feedback for the formative research that we do on concepts. And I also get to infuse a little bit of my lived reality into some of the content we're creating. I think it's been, just very rewarding to be able to shine a light on some of the day-to-day challenges that especially spouses of service members face, and their young children, of course, and just ways to support them and in turn, I'm supporting myself. I write the content, I read the content, I hear the content, I think about the content, and I try to put it into practice in my own family. It's not always easy, but it is nice to have something as a signpost to look to help my family weather all the changes and the uncertainty.
I think it's interesting that part of your story of you were working with Sesame Street, and even as 2016, Sesame Street had been supporting military families for probably 15 years at that point. I recall, obviously, the work when my children were young and I was deploying in 2006, 2007. And so at that point, like, you were likely familiar with the military and veteran work, but then you transitioned into the military as part of a military family. And I assume it stopped being conceptual and it became real for you.
Yes. And yeah, it is interesting because I was working for Sesame Workshop on our social impact team. So we create impact initiatives and resources for all kinds of families going through all kinds of big and small challenges, in addition to our military families work. And I had loosely worked on some of the military families initiatives before I became a military spouse myself. And I wasn't necessarily the content lead, but once we became a military family, Rocio, who I think you did have on the podcast previously, she said, "I think you're going to be the lead on this now that you have some insight." And I do think it's really interesting that we've been, doing military life for a few years now, almost 5 years now. And I still feel like a beginner, like a newbie. There's something to learn, whether it's an acronym or the name of something or just how different branches operate as well, or even active duty versus reserve or National Guard. There's just so much nuance. And I think what's been really interesting to see and reflect in the resources more and more is just that nuance and that variety of experience, even within military life.
Yeah, I can definitely see that perspective. As you mentioned, back in episode 29, we did have a great conversation with Rocio Galarza about the work that Sesame Street's doing. But even as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about how the need to continually change has been. So being a military family in 2023 is light years different than being a military family in 2003, mm-hmm. when my kids were where the age yours are, right? And I'm thinking about the adaptations over the past 20 years that need to be had related to catastrophic injuries and grief and things like that. And so I'm curious, from your perspective as a military spouse and a mother of military children, more on like how Sesame Street supports military families and how it's changing, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. So as you said, we've been doing this work, I think it is actually about 17 years now, all told. We've been doing the work for a long time. And back in the beginning, it was after 9/11, so we were supporting a lot of families going through homecoming deployments, multiple deployments, some grief, some injuries, right? Both visible and invisible injuries. That was a bread and butter of the initiative. And over time, we knew we needed to support families in other situations. So we had a big push around transitioning to civilian life, that kind of adventure. We have a whole cadre of resources for veteran families and civilian life stage in their military journey. We also support families around grief and grieving, and we've developed newer resources along that vein. Unfortunately, we know that suicide is really prevalent and so many families are facing that. So we, last year, maybe the year before, very recently developed more resources around how to talk with children and navigate death by suicide. But as you said, catastrophic events, including the pandemic, that was huge for military families. It was especially disruptive. It kept families apart for longer times, longer stretches of times. I know that my husband's unit, he hadn't quite joined, but they got stuck overseas for multiple months that were not planned, and their families couldn't join them. So that was a lot of disruption. And there were just the changes in protocols and just everybody trying to figure out the best way to keep everyone safe. But that added to a lot of anxiety. And of course, social isolation and feelings of loneliness also really came out of that. Families weren't able to find supports on base or off base, just access the resources that they were used to. So a big part of the work at Sesame is, like I said, research and talking to military families themselves. We try to do this through formative research when we are creating content, but we also do it in a more informal way with providers who care for families. So we're just like in the know. We try to keep a tab on what are the issues that are popping up for families and where are resources lacking, especially for those very young children, which I know is a gap pretty often in resources. So we just try to keep a pulse on what families are going through and meet them where they are. So now if you go to Sesame Street for Military Families, you can find topics related to those deployments and grief and homecomings, but also just routines, self-expression. We have recently added resources and content around temporary duty and transitions in healthcare. So just helping families do the things that we know that military families are going to do. They're going to move pretty often. They're going to have to relocate. They're going to have to re-sign healthcare homes and teams. How can we help them through those transitions? And then most recently, we have developed, how can we strengthen those family and community bonds? How can we help them in their everyday lives just to be stronger and have that sense of togetherness that helps them weather this very unique lifestyle?
One of the things that I've always valued about Sesame Street is, it's always been, and it is now, about education and supporting families, and in this case, military families. But it's not just shooting a video. Like, there's military children or characters on Sesame Street, right? I mean, this is not just writing scripts. This is creating characters, creating the entire Sesame Street workshop gets behind this aspect. And really to be able to help military connected children, young ones, like you said, specifically, be able to see themselves represented in Sesame Street characters.
Yeah, absolutely. And really excitingly, we, in that temporary duty piece, we announced officially that Elmo's dad is in the National Guard. So we really, he's always been our military Muppet, and we've always talked about how his dad has to go away sometimes and serve his country and things like that. But we've never really made it official. And with that initiative, we were able to make that official and really tie that into that temporary duty set of resources. And likewise, Elmo's friend Rosita, her dad was injured in his military service. So he's in a wheelchair, and they are sort of the Muppet family that represents some of our military caregiving work and supporting especially young children and caregiving families. So we are trying more and more to represent, like you said, it's not just a video. And I'll share a little bit of Sesame factoids here. As a content creator, and as a relatively new content creator, this is something I'm learning all the time. When I'm pitching an idea for a video, I'll mention something, okay, and maybe he's been to this place, and it's a whole thing. People come out of the woodwork and they say, well, is that in his storyline? Have we established this in the past? And we really have to be thorough about how we think through the storylines and the character progression. So it's a really thoughtful process. And really everyone at Sesame Workshop is aware of these changes, and that gets to become part of their story, whether it's in our impact work or on the street show as well.
I think that's the really growing up in the 80s, of course. I remember Sesame Street and our kids, and it really is an iconic part of so many children's lives, especially at the young age. Now, recently, and you've mentioned the work after the pandemic, and Sesame Street has released a new set of resources for military families specifically to address isolation and connectedness, not just related to military service, but this, as you talked about, the post-pandemic world that we're all living in.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So if you were to visit Sesame Street for Military Families, which is where you can find most of this work, there's a topic page called Family and Community Bonds. And what we really wanted to do with this set of resources, which includes three videos and then a song from some of our other impact work, three new videos, and then a handful of articles and some printable activities. And there's really a sort of three pillars of that, building bonds and trust. So it's within the family first. How can you model and show appreciation and thankfulness for your family and grow in togetherness in that way? So there's a video around that. There's also a video that takes one step further out. If you are thinking about, we call it a circle of care. So it's your family first, you take one step out, and there's that circle of care. So that could be community providers or pediatricians, the people that you see at the grocery store, the people that are in your community that might not be necessarily close friends, but could help you out and add to your family's well-being. So we have a video where May is solo parenting and she is able to take Elmo to an art class for a little while. And we see how the provider, the art teacher, invites her in and says, come to class with us. And she said, well, I kind of just need a minute to myself, you know? And she's like, no problem. I am going to take care of Elmo for this hour and you just take this time to yourself. And just really encourages her. So we like to model that it's not only the military family that kind of needs to dig in and find that inner strength, but that the community can also do really simple things to help just show understanding and support and encouragement of that military family's experience. And then finally, if we take a bigger step out and again, tapping into that military family, and this is something that happens all the time in my family. My husband will be gone for training. And he'll come home and we had made plans to do something, but he's tired and I'm tired because I've been dealing with kids and family and all the things. And we have to really say, we did want to do that thing. We wanted to go to that event or we wanted to see those friends because it's important to us to continue to reach out and plant roots in the community that we're in right now. And so that one, it has a little bit of back and forth between May and Louie, who are Elmo's parents. And I think what I'm really proud of in this set of work is that they're pretty relatable. They're not too shiny. They're not too, sometimes I think when we watch some Sesame Street, it's like, well, that's not my family. That's not real life. But these ones are really down to earth. And I think Elmo and his family especially did a really nice job of just modeling that reality, that it does take effort, but the effort is worth it because community and growing those bonds as a family really does make us stronger and help us to overcome those feelings of isolation.
And I think the one thing I value about the, is you've talked about all the research and all the thought that goes into this, is you're not just supporting young children, you're honestly supporting young families. I'm thinking back to when my wife and I had an 18-month-old and a newborn. We'd only been married for 2.5 or 3 years or something like that. And so these are young military families who are navigating this that may not know much more themselves about how those unique things. As I'm hearing you talk, I'm thinking about those times where my wife was solo parenting, then we were dual parenting and going back and forth. And you learn that over time. But this is as much a resource for the parents and the broader family. And even like you said, the broader community and not just education for the children.
That's exactly right. And the reason we do that, the reason we try to model these positive interactions and positive strategies for the grown-ups in children's lives is because we know that children thrive about as well as their parents do. Children learn from their parents, including me, right? I'm not a perfect parent, but they learn how to cope, how to express themselves, how to navigate those changes when they see us do it. And when we model for them, when we speak our feelings out loud, when we tell them, I'm having a hard time, it's just me. I really need a little bit of extra support from you guys. I need you to help me out here because I'm feeling a little bit frustrated. It's good for them to hear those moments of frustration and to see us get through that and to see that they helped in that and to see that we're thankful, right? Thank you so much for coming around and helping me out a little bit. That really helped our family. So we do model for parents. We model for grownups because children really need those good examples.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And you've mentioned it a couple times, but if people wanted to find out more about the recent resources or even the ongoing resources, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can go to SesameStreetForMilitaryFamilies.org. If you want to shorten that, it's SS4MF.org. And like I said, there's a variety of topics that you can explore there. You can also visit our sister site or our main Sesame Workshop site, which is sesameworkshop.org. And there's a tab on there that says Family Resources. And there are some military families initiatives there. And there are just some general ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, Healthy Minds, and a lot of tough topics that if your family is going through anything from grief or addiction or community violence, anything like that, we have resources to support you and your young children.
That's great. I'll make sure that all of those links are in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks. It's been so nice to talk with you.
Once again, we would like to thank this week's sponsor, PsychArmor. PsychArmor is the premier education and learning ecosystem specializing in military culture content. PsychArmor offers an online e-learning laboratory that's free to individual learners, as well as custom training options for organizations. I'm glad we had the opportunity to continue to highlight the work of Sesame Street Workshop as it supports military families, building off of our conversation in episode 29 with Rocio Galarza. One of the reflections I had was the unique place that Sesame Street plays in our culture and the unique place that military plays in our culture. The Sesame Street characters, Big Bird, Oscar the Grouch, Bert and Ernie, Grover, Elmo, are recognized by sight and still referenced by adults today. And the role that Sesame Street plays in educating children about difficult topics is nothing new. I was slightly older than the intended audience of young children when Mr. Hooper died in the early 80s, but I remember how impactful it was when the show talked about it. And Big Bird's frustration at people not believing him that Mr. Snuffleupagus was real echoed the frustration that many children have when their thoughts or feelings are dismissed or ignored. Yes, in a real sense, adults grow out of it and often come back to it when their children or grandchildren are of the audience age, but it continues to be a part of many of our childhoods and our lives today. At the same time, the military is a part of our culture, and not just because of lived experience, but as entertainment. Sesame Street is entertainment for sure, but it could also be more accurately described as edutainment, entertainment that educates. But war movies are blockbusters, even if they're not always accurate. TV shows like NCIS and all its variations, MASH, and even plays from Shakespeare and back in the Greek and Roman days have military and war as part of their subject matter. The annual survey in our governmental institutions shows that trust in the military and veteran community is higher than that of other institutions. So, while fewer Americans seem to be experiencing a direct connection to those who are serving or have served, it's still an awareness in our public consciousness and popular culture. That's why I find it interesting to see this convergence of two different aspects of our collective culture, Sesame Street and the military community. As Tara said, the team at Sesame Street works diligently to ensure that the characters on the show are representative and relatable to the audience, and many members of that audience are from military families. So the characters should be and are representative and relatable to military families, and the subject matter that they address should be and is relatable to those families. And, in a way, it's also bridging the gap between those who served and those who haven't. Not just supporting those members of the audience from military families to learn and cope with what they're experiencing, but also sharing those aspects of military experience with members of the audience who are not from a military family. It's in this way, as in thousands of other large and small ways, that we begin to shrink the gap that exists between the families of those who have served and those who have not. The other thing I appreciate about this conversation specifically is how these new resources that Tara talked about specifically address the disconnection and isolation that we all experienced during the pandemic and in some ways still continues, and how that might uniquely impact the military family. I was talking to a colleague the other day about how, since many of us are working remotely these days, I realized I hadn't left my neighborhood in over a week. I recently had to drive to another city for a VA appointment, incidentally, and realized that it was the farthest that I had driven in probably 6 months. It is extremely easy to get locked into a routine, and routines can be familiar. They can also be potentially dangerous, especially for those who might be isolating not out of ease or routine, but as a form of avoidance or a desire to disconnect from others. So Tara's point of, we made plans to go out, but then it got to the day and everyone's tired and just don't feel like it, but it's still important to do so anyway. That was a valuable example, I think, because the path of least resistance is not always the best path. And it's important for us as caregivers to model that behavior for our children to ensure that the cycle of isolation and disconnectedness are not continued in their lives. So I really valued that perspective as well. I hope you appreciated this conversation with Tara. If you did, we'd appreciate hearing from you. So if you do have some feedback, let us know. Drop a review in your podcast player of choice or send us an email at info@psychArmor.org. We're always glad to hear from listeners, both feedback on the show and suggestions for future guests. For this week's PsychArmor Resource of the Week, I'd like to share the conversation I had with Rocio Galarza back in episode 29. On that episode, Rocio, the vice president of the U.S. Social Impact Department at Sesame Workshop, talked about the evolving nature of Sesame Street program for military families, which is obviously continuing under Tara's leadership today. Find a link to the resource in our show notes. So thanks again for taking the time to listen to this episode. Make sure to take a look at the show notes, which you can find in the podcast app, as well as on the PsychArmor website at psychArmor.org/podcast. While you're there, you can find hundreds of online training videos delivered by nationally recognized subject matter experts who are all committed to educating the non-military community about military culture. All of these courses are free to individual learners. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't care, and it's that curiosity and passion for supporting service members, veterans, and their families that we want to encourage and increase. Come back each week for another conversation and make sure to engage with PsychArmor on social media to let us know what you thought about the show. I'd like to express special thanks to Operation Encore and Navy Seahawk pilot Jerry Maniscalco for our theme song, Don't Kill the Messenger. This show was produced by Headspace and Timing, and all rights to the show remain reserved by PsychArmor. Much appreciation to the team at PsychArmor that makes this show happen. Carol Turner, Vice President of Strategic Communications, who keeps me on track and is an outstanding guest coordinator, and support and transcript by Emma Atherall. Feel free to share the show. In fact, we request that you do, but make sure to let folks know where you heard it. Join us next time for another great episode, and until then, stay aware, get educated, and be well.